Hey, good evening. I'm Robert Schuller, and I want to welcome you to The Call. And, of course, this is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And we're becoming more and more of a church with no walls. It's really exciting. We'll share some of that with you later. But this is our favorite evening of the month because it's the 15th of the month, and, of course, it's 6 p.m. Pacific time. And as a result of that, we come together on the phone, we read the Bible, we pray, we talk about the impact our faith has on our lives and on the lives of others. And Don and I love this call, and we're here to give you the mid-month encouragement and remind you that if we continue to surrender our lives to God, we will see His good and perfect will in our lives.
That's right. And this is Donna Schuller. And for those of you that are on the call the traditional way via telephone, you may or may not know this, but we are trying Facebook Live at the same time that we do our conference line tonight with the call. So hey, everybody out there on Facebook Live, we're on Robert Schuller Ministries Facebook page, and we're going to see how this goes. This is the first time we've had a busy day with our grandkids. We'll tell you a little bit about that in a few minutes, but I want to thank you for joining us this evening. You know, we love this. We do it on the 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We've been doing this for over 4 years now.
Yeah.
And no matter where we are in the country,
we started in November, am I correct?
That's right, November 4 years ago.
I know. It'll be 5 years.
It'll be 5 years this November. We're going to have a party or something. I don't know. So we love this. And we also take your questions during the call. So remember, if you have a question, all you have to do is push the star and the six on your keypad, and either Rob or I will ask or answer your questions. So whatever questions you have, you may have questions about the Bible tonight. You know, this is a rather somber day, and I'll let Robert take it from here. Well, actually, would you like me to pray first?
Or let's start with a prayer.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this this time where we can come together in this way over the telephone and now via Facebook Live, Lord. Because we're two or three are gathered, there you are too. And so we come to you in all sincerity with our hearts wide open, willing and ready to receive what you have for us to learn tonight about ourselves, about you, Lord, and about other people. And this is the day before Easter in 2017, and we just are overwhelmed with gratitude for what you continue to do. You started years and years ago, and you continue to do every single day for each and every one of us that opens our heart to you. So we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, this past week I have been giving devotions on Facebook Live every morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time.
Should you talk to me?
Sure.
Why not?
It's different.
I know. It's so different for us. So for those of you listening on the telephone, we have the camera set up. You know, it's just a little iPhone.
Yeah. So,
but might as well say hi.
Yeah. So now we'll do it this way. And I don't know if we'll keep doing this because, you know, I had to actually – here it is on a Saturday, and I don't usually wash my hair on Saturday.
I know.
I usually wear my ball cap
and
everything. And but because we're on Facebook Live, I actually went and – wash my hair to make sure it looked good.
Well, mine was washed, but it's kind of messy from having the grandkids around out of my face and all, but I did put lipstick on.
And but I didn't shave.
I know.
Because I'll shave again tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we're used to this call. So. We're grubby. We're on the telephone. We sit with our feet up. We have our pajamas on half the time.
But if we're going to do it on Facebook.
Yeah,
we
got to be cleaned up.
We got to get cleaned up.
But we've had a lot of requests, so we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But, hey, we're doing it tonight. And if you're watching on Facebook, welcome. We're glad to have you here. If you're on the call, we're glad to have you on the call. Either way, it doesn't matter at all. It's all the same material. It's all the same message. It's just different ways of delivering the message. And so like I was saying this week, I was having a devotional every morning this week. Started on Palm Sunday. And I didn't do one this morning because it's the Sabbath, but nothing really takes place on the Sabbath during Holy Week. So we don't have – Jesus is obviously in the grave, so there's no teaching. The apostles have all disappeared into the woodwork. They're afraid for their lives. Maybe they're hiding in the upper room. We know they still have access to the upper room. It's a very sober and terrifying and disappointing time for everyone, because all of the apostles have at this point assumed that Jesus is dead, that all of their dreams are gone, that there is no hope and there is nothing. And that's how they feel. And that's the way this day is.
They don't know the ending.
Exactly. They don't know that when they go to visit the tomb in the morning, it will be empty. So anyway, what I wanted to do is share with you a recap of what I've been sharing with people through this week, and what I've been doing is
8 a.m. every morning. He did it.
Yeah.
You can see them on Facebook, on Robert Shuler Ministries Facebook, because we went ahead and posted them after they were live. So this whole Facebook live thing is pretty interesting. You do it live, but then you can post it, and I also put it on YouTube channel, which we kind of rebirthed. We haven't put a lot on there for several years. But anyway, go ahead, honey.
So let me just give you a recap. And what I did is I started with Palm Sunday and basically told the story of what Jesus did on Palm Sunday. And what happened is it was a very busy day, without question. He is in Bethany, and he sends his apostles out to find a colt that has never been ridden on, and they are very successful, and they come back with this colt just as Jesus gave them directions. They discovered it. They came back with the colt, and Jesus then rode that colt into the city of Jerusalem. So I'm not sure where he started riding it, because Bethany is a mile and a half outside of the city of Jerusalem. So he had to get from Bethany to Jerusalem. He would walk through the Kidron Valley and around them, or over the Mount of Olives, or around the Mount of Olives, the Kidron Valley, until he got to Jerusalem. He and the apostles were staying at Bethany with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And there seems to be a really strong set of followers in Bethany. So they were all welcomed there, and they were all taken care of there. And throughout the week, that's where he would reside. So on that morning, his apostles go and they get the colt. Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, either on the colt or next to the colt, or meets his apostles at the gates of Jerusalem. But by the time he starts entering Jerusalem, the crowds have gathered. People know he's there. They have palm fronds, and they're heralding him into the city as a hero and as the savior of their world. And most of the people who saw him coming there, and I think that would include the apostles, saw him coming in as the messianic warlord who is going to free Israel from the bondage of Rome. And that, of course, was not Jesus' plan at all. He tried to communicate that to the apostles, but the apostles had a very difficult time comprehending that, understanding it. And he enters the city of Jerusalem. Everybody's waving their palm fronds and they're singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And that's one of my favorite Sundays, when we can pass out the palm fronds and sing Hosanna to God. And so from there, Jesus made his way from there to the temple. And inside the temple, one of the first things he noticed was that they had all of the sheep and the goats, and they had the oxen, and they had the birds. They had just all of these animals that were ready for animal sacrifice in the temple. And they were in the outskirts. You have these three different layers under the temple. The outermost layer was the Gentile section. And it is that section that Jesus goes and he clears the money changers and he clears all these animals. You can imagine the noise from these bellowing sheep and goats. I mean, we used to take on Palm Sunday, we would in the cathedral, we'd have actually live goats that would come in, and we'd reenact this thing, and inevitably one of the baby goats would just howl as it walked through the cathedral, and people would laugh hysterically. Well, if you could imagine 100 of those, along with their parents, along with everything else going on, it was quite an undertaking, and there's no question that it would be very disruptive. Trying to pray in all of that, along with the smells and everything else that went along with it, it was not conducive for worship in any way, shape, or form. And so Jesus cleared it all out of there, along with the money changers, and that then kind of reset the tone for the whole, for everything that followed. Having cleared all of that, he begins to teach. And the Pharisees come and he talks to them because this was obviously a profitable venture for the temple and for the Pharisees and for the religious order. And he is now messing with money. And when you mess with somebody's money, you're causing problems. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he did that. So anyway, he continues to teach throughout Palm Sunday. And we have some fabulous teaching. One of the teachings that we get is the question from the Pharisee who says, by what authority do you have to teach this? By what authority do you have? And Jesus went up and answered the fact that he has the authority to do this. Because his father's house will be a house of prayer. And it was his father's house. So that, again, started this whole confusion with the Pharisees. What do you mean, my father? And who is your father? And are you saying that you're something special? And so after a lot of questioning, examining, and trying to trick Jesus into saying something that would be punishable and would give them and turn everyone away from him, he continued to address all of their concerns and their questions, and he continues to teach. So at the end of the day, they finally get to go back to Bethany, and they rest. And the next morning, Monday morning, they go right back at it. They go back to the temple again, and they begin, and he starts teaching. And what's interesting is that almost every day he is in the temple teaching. And if you try to look at this chronologically, it's hard to decipher exactly what takes place on Sunday, what takes place on Monday, what takes place on Tuesday, what takes place on Thursday. Some of it's very clear, but some of these things aren't. And but what seems to be clear is that every single day he gives us another teaching on love. And it's just a beautiful thing to remember that's one of the primary messages that Jesus gives us, is to love one another as I have loved you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, all of these comes out during this Holy Week as Jesus is going back and forth from Bethany to the temple to teach in the temple, and then to make his way back to Bethany. We have very little recording of what they did in Bethany. My guess is they basically slept there and they ate there a little bit, but it was basically where they slept, and then they go back to the temple. So that was the quest and the rhythm that they had throughout this week. There was a few interruptions throughout the week. One is that a couple days before Passover, Judas actually went and approached the Pharisees, and he approached them and said, "What would you do for me if I gave you Jesus?" It wasn't the other way around. I've always the more I study the Bible, I keep getting new visions and reacquainting myself with the facts. And I've always had it in my mind that the Pharisees approached Judas, but they didn't. It was actually the other way around. Judas approached the Pharisees. I think that's a significant thing. And it's probably my own ignorance in thinking that way, because it really doesn't make any sense that the Pharisees would approach Judas, because why would they single him out? Why would they think that he would even think about betraying mm-hmm. Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, Judas approached them, and he was given, of course, 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. That probably took place on Tuesday, the latest Wednesday. By Thursday, Monday is just the Thursday before Easter. And on Thursday, that's a very busy day for Jesus again. He gets up in the morning. He sends his apostles out to find a place where they can hold the Passover feast. And they go and they follow his instructions, and they find the upper room. He goes into the temple and he starts teaching again. And he is questioned by a Pharisee who is known as an expert in the law. You know? First of all, Jewish rabbis are all experts. So for him to be zeroed out as an expert.
An expert.
It would be like, he would be considered then, in effect, like a Supreme Court judge.
Mm-hmm.
Not just anybody, because they're all judges. They're all judges determining what the law is or is not.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be the highest authority as an expert in the law. And he came to Jesus. And he questioned Jesus, and Jesus' answer, again, focused on love. And he said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. And he said, the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that Pharisee said, you have answered correctly. You have answered correctly. And that truly is the commands that are most important to God. Because the Ten Commandments, the first four Ten Commandments are all based on our relationship with God. That's what God cares about, those are the main ones. People, when you talk about the Ten Commandments, they always go to the ones that man cares about. We care about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. Those are the ones that men care about. The ones God cares about, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make of yourself a graven image. You shall not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. You shall honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. All of those deal with our relationship with God. And in many ways, I've done this before, but you can correlate it with a relationship with a spouse. You shall have no other spouses besides me. I think you would agree with that, right, Donna? You shall have no other spouses besides me. You shall not make a graven image. You shall not look at other women with lust in your heart. You shall not make a graven image. You shall honor the Sabbath day. You shall have a day with me, at least one day in seven, where you give me some attention. You care for me. You shall not take
the and vice shall, versa.
Exactly. All of this is vice versa. It's a relationship.
Okay.
And then the fourth commandment that I skipped over was you shall not be disrespectful. You shall not be disrespectful and call me names and use me in a negative and ugly way. So these, again, are relational commands that God asks of us mm-hmm. with him. And so what did Jesus do when asked what's the greatest command? He immediately turns to that and says, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul and thy mind. And that's what it was. And then, of course, the second takes care of all the others, the one that the commands that men care about, that people care about. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And therein the law is fulfilled. And so that all took place on Thursday. So then after all of that teaching, Jesus goes up to the Mount of Olives and he starts praying and he prays fervently. And the prayers I've got this little book here, which I really like. It's called The Life of Jesus. And it's
greatest.
What it is,
that's
all
actually my copy. You gave one away.
Yeah, I
have to get one.
And I've got one on down in Mexico, and,
I've
ordered a few, but every time I order them, I end up giving them away.
That's right. It's a good thing to give away.
I give them away all the
it's
time.
A great thing to give away.
And
I like it because I carry it in my purse. It's getting a little tattered because it's so small. You stick it in there.
And what it is, it's the four Gospels, and they compile them together as best they can in a chronological fashion, and they don't repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything is repeated in all four Gospels, you only see it once in here. And nothing that's in the Gospels, they try to leave nothing out. So you have everything we know about Jesus in the four Gospels, in this little book, and not repeated. And so it's really helpful and really good to be able to have the whole story. But why did I bring that up?
Well, anyway.
So Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives, and like I said, he prays fervently in Gethsemane. I've been there. It's a beautiful place. We've been all over the Holy Land numerous times. It's one of our favorite places in the world. In fact, we were just asked that last night. My son Bobby and I and Don and I went out to dinner with some good friends of ours, and he asked the question, you've traveled a lot. What's your favorite place? He said Israel. Yeah. But anyway, so Jesus prayed, and he asked the Lord, take this cup from me. He knew where he was going. He knew how that day was going to end. He knew where he was going to be on Friday night. And he said, Lord, take this cup from me. And then comes the most important words for us to remember. Not my will, but thine be done.
Mm-hmm.
Not my will, but thine be done. And he was obedient to God and fulfilled the calling that he has. So then Judas comes and he betrays Jesus with a kiss. Jesus is arrested by the temple guard. The temple guard is basically the soldiers that were hired by the high priests, by the Pharisees, and accountable to Caiaphas, the high priest. They arrested him. They brought him then to the home of Caiaphas. He is questioned. He is beaten. He is thrown into a cistern. There are many, many, many cisterns all through Israel. In fact, I question people around California, if we have a drought, we need to build some cisterns here, because it's been proven historically to be a very effective way to live in a desert. And these cisterns are typically and usually carved out of one giant solid rock. When I say it's a big solid rock, many of these cisterns are the size of a 2,000 square foot home, two-story house. You can imagine a two-story house, 2,000 square feet, and that's the size of this hole in the rock. And they'll carve that out by hand, and then they'll plaster it so it doesn't leak. And then they gather the rainwater as it falls on their homes and the streets, and it gathers in there. And they have the water they need. So anyway, I think there's a lot of desert places that could really benefit from having cisterns, and because they did have cisterns there, and that's where Jesus spent his last night. No windows, dark as dark can get, cold, damp, he's bleeding and beaten. It is a sorry, sad place to be, completely lonely.
I think I told you the last trip we took to Israel, which was about, was it 6 years ago now? I think it was 6 years ago. And it was after we had left the big church. You know, we have to remember there's people that listen because this goes on podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have our normal people that listen to the call on the 15th of every month. And now we have the Facebook Live audience. But we also have many people that listen to our podcast day after day, week after week. And they don't know what we're talking about if we just throw out something like the cathedral. So I think it's important once in a while to let people know, yeah, my husband was the pastor of a really large church called the Christ Cathedral. And so we had, you know, because of a lot of circumstances we won't go into, we left there about a little over 8 years ago now. So our first trip back to the Holy Land was just a couple of years after that. So, you know, we were still kind of in pain and hurting and all that. And I remember thinking when we went and visited the place where Jesus was jailed that night, I remember standing in that cistern in that cold rock. And there were like 20 of us standing in there. And I remember just thinking, now this is loneliness. This is feeling abandoned. Because I guess it sort of brought up a lot of my human feelings. Like, yes, I was feeling so bad about the fact that, wow, Jesus had to spend an entire night in here, you know, lonely and abandoned by everybody he knew. And yet, even though he was, you know, as God incarnate, he knew that that was what he was supposed to do, still his human side, right? That feeling of loneliness. And I just remember sitting in there, and there were like 20 of us in there, I remember, at the time. So you're talking about the size of the cistern. Yeah, it's substantial, even that one. But it's just cold and gray and no windows, and you're like inside. It's like being in a cave with no, I can't even remember the opening or the door to get in there. I just remember standing in there going.
Well, they carved out a special and created a stairway
for
down.
For us to get so down. That's right. So we just.
But then most of them would have stairways so that they can get down.
But just horrible. Mm-hmm. Just horrible. So anyway, I just recently was remembering that and how what.
One of the things I forgot that I passed over was that prior to Jesus being betrayed by Judas and going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he went to the upper room with his apostles, and they had their Last Supper, and he washed their feet, and so I just need to throw that in as well. As you can see, I'm doing all of this basically from memory. I don't have none of these notes have any of that detail on it.
That's our script.
That is our script.
That's the first time people can see our call script.
Yeah, exactly. So
we don't leave anything out.
Yeah, like I did just then.
No.
But so then the following morning on Friday morning he is woken. He's in a lot of pain because he was beaten the night before. He hasn't had any rest, and he is brought to Herod. First to Pilate, then to Herod, and then back to Pilate. They couldn't find any fault with him, any reason to condemn him to death, but to appease the masses, which in this 1 week have turned from singing and praising Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Yeah, from Sunday, a few days.
Yeah, in one week, they went from Hosanna, Hosanna to crucify him, crucify him. It was just shocking that something like that could happen so quickly. And but it did. And to appease the masses, that was an unjustified crucifixion. and he was crucified, and he died, and he was buried, and buried in a tomb with a large rock. Have you been to the tombs where they have the large rocks? I mean, these tombs are, yeah, some of these rocks will weigh thousands of pounds, and they're usually like 18 inches thick, and they're round, and it's impossible to move one of those by yourself. It takes several strong people, and I think more than that, they probably need pulleys, not pulleys, but what's the system where a lever and a block, and I forget what that expression is called.
A lever.
With a block and a board to move it, because it's that heavy and it's just very difficult to move. And that's why we'll get to there. So I was going to say, on Easter morning, that's why Mary and Martha says, who's going to roll the stone for us? Right. That's a real issue. I mean, you just don't go and roll those stones. I mean, it takes tremendous strength and leverage and know-how. Peter, you know, they didn't say, well, let's get some of the strong apostles. Let's get Peter and John to come with us because they can roll the stone away. They couldn't roll the stone away if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't strong enough. So their question was very legitimate. Who's going to roll the stone for us? How are we going to move this thing? But going back, he was buried there because of the Sabbath was upon them, and the Sabbath starts at sundown. So at sundown they were no longer allowed, punishable by severe penalties by doing anything like anointing the body.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't and weren't allowed to anoint the body after Jesus died. So they had just enough time to put him in the grave and roll the stone and seal it and put the guards in front. And that was it. And then they all went back to Bethany, spend the night, spend the Sabbath, which is where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sabbath is about to end because the sun's about to set. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the Sabbath.
Right. I think it sets around 7:20 here in California now.
So to tell you how strict this Sabbath is, when we go to Israel on the Sabbath, they always have if there's four elevators in the hotel, they always have one or two that's a Sabbath elevator, and explain what happens.
Oh, you can't. If you get on one of the Sabbath elevators, it stops at every single floor. So you don't want to get on the Shabbat elevator, because if you want to go from, say, floor 14 down to the lobby, you're going to be stopping at every single floor because the Jews aren't allowed to do any work, including push buttons during Shabbat.
To take the elevator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So would you say this day, Robert, is like a day of reflection then? A day of, I don't know, you were saying like the apostles, we're not clear, right? They're hiding out. They may still be in the upper room.
Yeah, they're definitely afraid.
They're afraid because Jesus has been brutally murdered, basically. And they've seen this, some of them, and then they just took off and they scattered. I know that's clearly in the Bible, but I mean, so I'm just thinking, you know, like, because you didn't go on Facebook Live for the first time at 8 a.m. We're doing those little messages, meditations, and prayers every day at Holy Week, but you decided to kind of just, you know, stay silent this morning. Well, first of all, we knew we had the call tonight. But I think really you just wanted to kind of people think about the messages of the week.
Well, we have absolutely no recorded events that take place on that day.
Okay.
And the reason is because it's Sabbath and they don't do anything. They don't even push the buttons for the elevator, right?
Right.
So there's no recorded events. And what I've been doing is every day throughout this whole week, and if you want to go back and listen to some of those, you can do that on Facebook. And so we have no recorded events. That's one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, it's kind of a time of mourning,
mm-hmm.
where we're grieving the loss of our dreams, their hopes, their aspirations. Mm-hmm. They didn't remember Jesus' words, and they didn't understand when he told them, when he was questioned by the Pharisees, by what authority do you have to drive out these animals? Mm-hmm. His answer was, knock down this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it.
Right.
And the temple had been under construction for decades and was still under construction. And it wasn't even completed. And they're going, in 3 days, you're going to rebuild it. Uh-huh, right. And that's because his testimony was not about the temple being a building, but the temple being our relationship with God, being him as the new temple, and that he was going to die and be destroyed and mm-hmm. in 3 days rise again. And so he's being prophetic, and so all of that's taking place during this week. When you look at the Gospels and you start realizing everything that takes place during this week, mm-hmm. it's no wonder it's known as Holy Week.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I've always wanted to do that we've never done
mm-hmm.
is to walk the Via Dolorosa on Good Friday. We've walked the Via Dolorosa on numerous occasions. Every time we go to Israel, we walk the Via Dolorosa. And that is, the Via Dolorosa is Latin for the way of the cross. It's where Jesus got his cross and walked through to Golgotha. Where he was crucified. But maybe someday we'll do that.
I'm sure we probably will.
Yeah.
That's on our bucket list, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Should we take some questions? I know that we're running out of time. We've got some things we typically do here, and it's scripted to keep this thing going. A couple of announcements, things. But
I've been talking a lot. Sorry about that.
I think that it's really important. It's an important week. This is a different call than we normally have for two reasons. Number one, we're trying Facebook Live for the first time, but also most importantly is because it's Holy Week. So we didn't have a guest. We're not interviewing anybody. There's not a lot of interjection here and talking back and forth. But we would like to take your questions. So I'm going to turn on the there you can hear that. So if anybody would like to ask a question, I'm talking to the conference call people now because we are not using our laptop. We have another laptop besides this. We're obviously not using this for the camera, but we're using Robert's cell phone, so we can't really see the questions.
But if somebody's on Facebook Live and they want to call in, they can.
Yeah, they can.
Why don't you give them that number a minute, and then they can press *6.
Well, you can do that. The number is 641-715-3865, and then the code is 642-848, and then you push the pound sign. Again, it's 641-715-3865, and you'll be prompted, and when you are, it'll say enter your access code, and the access code is 642-848 and the pound sign. So I've got someone on right now, probably a person that normally listens on the conference line. Hello.
Hi, Pastor Robert and Donna. This is Luann.
Hi, Luann.
How are you?
We're great. Thank you.
My question is, would you, Pastor Robert, you just said something in the beginning of the call about number 4. Would you just, repeat that and elaborate on that just a little bit? I'm just not clear with when you were talking about the commandments. You said number 4.
Oh, the fourth commandment.
I'm sorry.
Four commandments are these. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. I'm sorry. I got confused. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, is number mm-hmm. 1. Number 2, you shall not make graven image.
Right.
Number three is you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I'm sorry I use all the these and the vowels, but that's the way I learned
as
a child. And so it's hard to change your childhood memories, you know. And then the fourth one is to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Okay. I thought you said something else. I kind of missed it a little bit. So no, I'm with you now.
You may have heard him when he was comparing that to a relationship, and I think he said, so when you're married or if you're in a relationship, you want to keep your relationship special by spending special time together, at least like,
once a week,
having a date night, something like that. So he was talking about relationship, like your relationship with God.
Exactly.
By honoring God and keeping one day a week to honor God. And he was just, I think that may have been what you heard. And so I'm not sure, but I can see why that was.
Yeah, well, I had an interruption. I had an interruption,
oh, okay.
So I was like trying to listen. I'm like, wait, I missed something. So I wasn't quite clear, but no, that's thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you.
Same here.
I would like to, I guess I should just give a little bit of an update. We're going to be, we're trying to keep this call to under 40 minutes now. We've already gone 41, so we're going to definitely get off at 45, and I'll tell you why, because we have two little children coming back. We had our grandchildren this morning for Easter egg hunt and brunch, and they're coming back. Two of them are coming back, so Christina and Chad can go out on a date. So we have a two-year-old and a three-month-old baby. they're going on their date.
And when you have little kids, you really
to honor that. So just a ministry update, really brief. Again, just a reminder, we have a newsletter. We'd love to have you join our newsletter. You go on robertschulerministries.org, not .com, but .org, and there's a little box on the side that says subscribe to our mailing list, and you just type your email in there. And then what happens is you will receive in your inbox a confirmation, and it may come from MailChimp because that's the server we use. And you just click on that so they know that you're not a robot or you're not trying to scam anything. And you won't get a lot of information from us. We have a mailing We have our newsletter that only goes out quarterly. And if you don't want to do that, then just send us an email. Send it to me, Donna@robertschulerministries.org, and just say, please add me to your mailing list. And that'll be that. That might even be easier for you because it's one step. So, yeah, write me, Donna@schulerministries.org. And, in fact, write me anytime and ask me, give me some suggestions for new guests because we try to have a guest at least 10 months out of the year, and we'll have another fabulous one next month for sure. I wanted to let you know that we will be expanding our ministry of inspirational teaching. This is another reason we want your email. We want you to be on our list so you won't miss out. And we're going to be giving away books and other kinds of exciting things, and we want you to be a part of it. Our podcast of this call is always available by the next morning. I try to get it done by tonight. We're babysitting tonight. It'll be out by tomorrow. And again, our podcast address, you can either get it on iTunes, Robert Schuler Ministries, or you can go to robertschulerministries.podomatic. That's the name of the company, podomatic.com. robertschulerministries.podomatic.com. And keep in mind, if you Google any of this stuff, and Robert Schuler Ministries, it's interesting, but Google knows. They have all this stuff, so you can look it up at any time.
So are we going to post this Facebook page?
Yeah, this is on there now. It's on there, whether we like it or not. Well, it's on there, whether we like it or not.
It won't be on there forever, though, until we post it.
I think it will, but we'll post it, yeah. And we're leaving to go back down to pastor our gathering in San Jose del Cabo. We'll be down there Sunday, April 23rd. And Sunday, April 30th. So if you're down there in San Jose del Cabo, La Playita, or Cabo San Lucas is also close enough, please join us. And we're doing something special. We've done this before with a couple, really great couple that belong to our gathering down there. And we use that belong lightly because it's a really sort of an organic, flowy sort of a church, which is great. But it's the Dia de los Niños, and that's the Day of the Child. And this couple and the gathering will be sponsoring a day for needy children. And it's basically high needs, special needs kids and their families. A lot of them, we started being involved with this couple that we just really care a lot for. And they also support our ministry quite generously. But they started this right after the huge hurricane we had down there. We had our very first party or posada for these little children, and they lost. Yeah, that was in 2014. And so we're having another one, and this helps people that are, they're the least of the least as far as their special needs, and also it's just very heartwarming. So that'll be on the 30th after our gathering service. Just a really quick update on the Schuler Help site, schulerhelp.org. We're helping drug addicts, alcoholics. All they have to do is go on the website, and we have a young man. Actually, he's not that young anymore. Sorry, Greg, if you're listening. He was our guest last night, but, he's a nice man. He's young compared to we are, last month. And he answers the phone. He's a trained counselor, drug and alcohol intake counselor. And we've heard from the two people that we've placed in the last couple of months, and it's been really heartwarming and just beautiful to see that the SchulerHelp.org site is actually helping people. And we thank you for your support for those of you that continue to support that. We're ambassadors for Jesus. We go all over the world. We go wherever we're called. So if you ever need us, let us know. We'll do our best to get to you.
Well, we're a church.
That's right.
And we're a church with no walls. We have no boundaries. So we have flown around the world doing weddings and funerals and baptisms.
We've had a few too many funerals in the last 2 months. It's been really sad.
If you need us, we'll be there.
Right.
That's what it boils down.
Exactly.
So you're talking about, since this is a church, and this is basically a worship service, we've had prayer in the church service. You have prayer. It's nice to have music, but not all churches have music. For mm-hmm. instance, the Quakers don't have any.
That's right.
Quakers?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's the Quakers, I believe, that don't have any music in their services at all. And I guess that's kind of like what we are, in effect. And that people have an opportunity to participate in the worship as well by calling in. But one of the things you do in a worship service is you have an offering, and we don't have the means to pass an offering plate, so what we do is we have a donate button.
Oh, Facebook will probably come up with that soon.
Yeah, exactly. So we just encourage people to support our ministry and what we're doing by going to our website at robertschulerministries.org. And you'll see a donate button there, and you could donate there. And that's how many people make their donations. And if that doesn't work for you, you can write to us. Our address is Robert Schuler Ministries. And this is a new address, by the way, new as in February new. Our new address is 2128 Bay Point. That's BayPointe, Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660.
And we had a question from somebody, because we travel so much. We just saw somebody. We went to the Messiah at Good Friday services at Bobby's church last night, our son's church. And she said, well, you travel so much, is what happens to your mail? Our mail is perfectly safe. Our kids either get it or now they're pretty busy. So we just have our mail held at the post office, and we haven't had any problems there. Anyway, our kids are calling in already, waiting for us.
Yeah, they want us to come pick up the grandkids, yeah. But if you wish to write us, you can send your contributions there by snail mail. Again, that address is 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. If you wish to connect with to send us an email, my email address is robert@robertschulerministries.org. And I'll bet you can guess what Donna's is.
Mm-hmm.
One guess. Donna@robertschulerministries.org. Is that what you guessed? You're correct. Donna@robertschulerministries.org. And
before we get off, we have to remind everybody. So don't forget the rest of the story. Tomorrow at 8 a.m., Robert is doing his last, for now, Facebook Live little devotional /meditation/service. They're short. They're really short. They're not long like this. And it's 8 a.m., Robert Schuler Ministries, Facebook Live, so you're going to have
because
to shower again.
Because the stone is rolled away.
Yeah, so
hallelujah.
Join us
praise
tomorrow.
God.
And it's been great.
Well, let's have a closing prayer. Thank you, God, for this beautiful opportunity that we have to be able to come to worship you, to recognize you and your beauty. And so in this time of grief, and there's many people who have tremendous grief, we pray that you will heal us and help us to see the joy that comes in the morning. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I think they're here.
So next week,
and George,
what time? The 15th?
Next month. On the 15th of every month, 6 p.m. Pacific, it's time for the call. We have a great guest next month.
Until next time, God is blessing you.
Always.
And always.
I'm going to